This morning I want to share a message entitled A Growing Season. And I want to set before us, church, a vision for our future. And I want to use several passages to create a foundation for this. And so if you want to follow along in the Bible, it's going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And then Matthew chapter 9. And then Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And between Matthew and Malachi is that period of time. It's in seminary, it's called the intertestamental period. But it's basically the period of time between the Old Testament and the New Testament when there was a period of silence. And God was not speaking and was not revealing himself as he had before or as he would in the future. And so anyway, that's where Malachi is at. And Malachi is the last word of the Old Testament, and Matthew is the first word of the New Testament. When I and my family came to pastor here in August of 2009, I remember having a vision for my ministry of planting seeds that would lead to healthy growth. For over 10 years, that vision was planted in my heart and guided me as the Lord led me and as I sought to lead our church. Planting seeds was what led us to first articulate as a church two statements that would be spiritual anchors for us. The first was sort of a mission statement. It said, "We exist to live fully in Christ's love, to lead others to experience God's grace and freedom, and to be a flourishing branch of Christ's church." The second statement was based off of a part of the passage that Josh mentioned earlier out of Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And it was a vision or a picture of who we wanted to be as a church. We wanted to be a people planted with hope for a harvest, a people rooted deep with a love for God's word, a place with growth that is alive and vibrant for all people, a people strong in consistent prayer and testimony, and a people overflowing with the fruit of love, joy, and praise. And I praise the Lord for giving us those statements and those ideas and those words that became a reality for us. At the beginning of 2022, it was clear that a former season was coming to an ending and a new one was beginning. Over the last almost 2 years of the replanting journey, I've waited to see what new vision the Lord would share for this new season that we're in. Over time, I've discerned that rather than a planting season, this new season is a growing season. And I couldn't be more filled with hope. This morning, I want to share several passages of Scripture that pertain to this new vision of growth. The first is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want to share from verse 6 to verse 11. It speaks about the growth and harvest that is a natural part of seed planting and sowing and reaping. So as I think about this vision for the future that I believe the Lord has for us, it's a vision of growth. It's a vision of increase. It's a vision of harvest. And so these passages of Scripture pertain to that reality. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning verse 6, Paul writes this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'll pause right there and say that Paul is writing to the Corinthians here, and they are preparing themselves to make some kind of a gift to some churches that are gathering in other and located in other places. And so Paul is talking about the way in which the Corinthians need to be preparing themselves for this kind of giving or this kind of generosity. Back in verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on all occasions. And through us, your generosity will result in great thanksgiving to God. Paul is encouraging the Corinthians in their generosity toward other groups of Christians that are gathering in other places. Now pay attention. This pertains to their desire and their willingness to give in order to meet a need in another place. Paul says, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. But sowing generously, you reap generously. Determine in your heart, Paul says, what you want to give, and give it cheerfully. Some people have used this verse and that idea to communicate to Christians that this is a kind of a way of giving or being generous over and above or beyond what the Old Testament teaches in terms of a tithe. That you give generously, or you give according to what you believe God has laid upon your heart to give, and you do it with, what's the word? Cheer. You do it cheerfully. It's a beautiful way of giving and comes from a heart that God has touched and moved to be a giving heart, a giving kind of person. But verse 10 takes it beyond just the giving of meeting material needs. God brings about growth and increase and harvest. Look at back at verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. This is more than just the kind of increase that God brings about because of someone or because of a group's giving or their generosity. This is actually talking about an increase or a growth or a harvest of righteousness that comes out of that generous heart. Sometimes it's easy to kind of cling to what you have, just to hang on to it, because of maybe fear that you're going to lose it or you won't have enough. And so you just cling. And that represents not just being cautious, but sometimes it can represent a condition of the heart that says, I want to take care of myself, and I'm not so much concerned about other people. And yet what Paul is saying and suggesting is that there is something that God does in the heart that leads someone to be a giver, to be generous, and to do it with joy and with cheer, and that that is something that God will cause to grow in that person's heart and in the righteousness that comes out of their lives. The Lord responds to our desire to give and brings about growth in us and brings about increase in our lives. So you might ask this, well, what is he increasing? What is God increasing? Because some people might conclude, well, if I give materially, God will bless me and will increase me materially. If I give financially, God will increase me financially. And so then the motivation is to give so that you can get back. Sounds a little familiar in some circles in terms of their teaching of what God does in terms of growth and increase and harvest. Yet God is really looking at the heart. And when he sees a heart that desires to give with cheer and with joy, the Lord brings about growth and increase. And what is he increasing? It says in the text, he will increase your store of seed. I believe that that's saying that God will increase what it is that you have to give. But not just that, God will increase what it is that you desire to give. You may not be able to give it, but God will increase it, I believe, based on that heart that desires to give generously and with cheer. When there is a heart that is cheerful in giving, whatever that gift is, regardless of the amount or regardless of the thing, the Lord brings about growth and increase and a harvest of righteousness. If we've been seed planting before, church, it's now time for growth and increase and harvest. In what areas of your life, I ask you today, in what areas of your life or in what areas of your home or family, in what areas of our church, might it be time for growth and increase and harvest? This first passage in 2 Corinthians, I believe, has to do with desire. Desire. What you desire to give. And how it is, and from the kind of heart that that giving comes. That desire that God is able to increase, to grow, and to bring about a harvest out of the desire that is in our heart. Now, there's a second passage that I want us to look at. And this passage refers to growth, increase, and harvest mentioned in Malachi chapter 3. And I want to read from verses 8 to verse 10. Now, though we relate to God the Father through Jesus Christ, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. Jesus says that. I am the only way to the Father. You're only going to find life through me, truth through me. And you're only going to find the Father, the God who has created us and who loves us as a loving and good Father, through me, Jesus says. And so we understand God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus promised to send. We understand God, the three in one in the New Testament. But we also pay attention to the Old Testament. There are words of life and words of God that are there, the Word of God in the Old Testament that we pay attention to and that we live our lives according to. We are not people who are bound legalistically to the Old Testament law. The law that we are bound to is Jesus' law of grace and love. But we pay attention to the words that are there. And so we turn to Malachi, this old ancient prophet, the last prophet to speak in the Old Testament, to learn about God and what God expects of his people. And so Malachi chapter 3, I'll pick up in verse 8. God asks this question of his people through the prophet. Will a person rob God? Yet, my people, you rob me. But you all ask, how are we robbing you? And the Lord says, well, I'll tell you, in your tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, the Lord says. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Wow. If 2 Corinthians 9 refers to desire, then Malachi 3 refers to obedience. Obedience. That there's something of a relationship between growth and increase and harvest and obedience. And God is speaking honestly with his people and telling them, essentially, you're robbing me. And you're robbing me because you're not bringing to me what I've asked for. You're not obeying what I've asked you to do. You know, we can have a heart to give, but are we willing to, are we following through with obedience? In Malachi 3, God is confronting not the people's desire to give, but their obedience in giving. Their obedience in doing it. He says very plainly, you are robbing me. And then my words that my way of saying it is this. God says, stop robbing me and start testing me. Stop robbing me through your disobedience and start testing me in your obedience. It's an invitation to his people. Obey me in your giving. And what God had required is that, you know, and this had been for a very long time, God's requirement was that his people bring to him a tenth, 10% of what they generated. For us today, typically that is 10% of what we make, our income, our financial income. And so God is saying, obey me in your giving. And see what I will do. I've given you a promise here, and you're not even testing it out. You're not even giving me, God says, a chance to respond to your obedience. It's almost as if you've wrapped your arms around it, and you said, God, this is mine, and I'm the only one that knows how to manage it, how to deal with it. Lord, it's a very small amount, and I don't know how to relinquish any of it to you. But God says, test me. And I think another way of saying it is this, not just test me, trust me. Trust me. You see, what you have, the Lord says, I've given it to you. And so as you hold it, look, I've got you, I'm holding you. And so trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And try me. Try obeying me and just see what I might would do. And what does it say God will do? It says that he will throw open the windows. The windows? No. What does it say? He will throw open the floodgates. Has anybody ever been where a river is dammed and they open the floodgates and all of that water just rushes out from the waters that have been dammed up for so long, and they just shoot out in an unbelievable amount of water that just rushes and explodes out? God says, I'm not just opening a window. We think about a window of heaven being opened, this small window up in heaven. The Lord says, no, it's not a window. It's a floodgate. You will not even be able to contain it, to store it, to manage it. If you will trust me and test me, the Lord says. Listen, I love what Malachi 3 says about God. I love what it says about the Lord and about the fact that he invites us into a kind of trusting as we obey him in giving a particular way, and how God says he will respond to our obedience. that he'll open up floodgates. You say, well, Pastor, I would love for the Lord to open up a floodgate. Well, he tells us what's required of us so that that floodgate can be opened up. I believe that promise was for his people in Malachi's day, and I believe it is for Jesus' people today. Based on this passage, I want to issue what I'm calling the Malachi 3:10 challenge to our church, that in the year 2024, we as a church would make a commitment not to giving, but to obeying. Obeying the Lord in our giving. Now, listen, none of us have an inside look into our own hearts and into our own practices. For some, this Malachi 3:10 challenge means that you may need to make a commitment to tithe. You have not been tithing, and so it may be that the Lord would say to you, in this next year, I want you to consider committing to me your tithe. For some, it may just need to be a commitment to regular giving, a regular amount or a regular frequency that displays a commitment to obedience, not so much to giving. And that would meet up with what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. Give what the Lord has placed on your heart and do so with great cheer and great joy. But it's all of us letting our giving be from a cheerful and obedient heart. We'll be sending out information about this Malachi 3:10 challenge, and I want to ask you, just for now, just to be praying about it. Lord, what are you saying to me about this? What are you saying to my family about this? What are you calling us to? How are you inviting us to trust you in this area of obedience? And then let our obedience pave the way for God to open the floodgates of blessing and see if it will not be more than we can contain. More than we can contain. Imagine that. What is more than we can contain here at Robertsville? Imagine it. Dream it. Pray it. Will you join me in this challenge of obedience? A third and final passage I want to speak to today is about growth and increase in harvest in Matthew chapter 9. And I just want to read from verse 35 down to the end of the chapter. It's just a few verses here. And it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds that would gather, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. They were like a sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, and he has in mind all of these people that he's considered to be like sheep without a shepherd. And he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And if we were to continue reading past chapter 9 and we got into the first verse of chapter 10, it speaks about the authority that Jesus had, that he gave to his disciples in the carrying out of this work in the harvest. So it's not just an invitation to join Jesus in a work. It's also receiving from him the authority to do it. And to succeed in faithfulness in the work. Growth and increase is not just a financial matter, it's a people matter. Jesus mentions a harvest of people that God desires to bring in. And I want to say, church, there is a harvest of people that I believe God wants to bring in to this place. Jesus mentions a harvest of people, and we are involved in that harvest. Church, as we move into a new season, I believe the Lord is involved in bringing about growth. bringing about increase, bringing about harvest as we work with people. I pray that the Lord is beginning to open your heart and your mind and your excitement to this. God will use us. He will use our presence in the community. He will use the words that we speak and the truth that we proclaim. He will use our witness as we serve and as we work and be the feet of Jesus and the hands of Jesus in the world to work in the lives of people. As the Lord finds the lost, as the Lord saves the dying, as the Lord through us befriends the stranger, and as the Lord continues to grow up followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. For Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the word is desire. For Malachi 3, the word is obedience or obey. And for Matthew chapter 9, the word is share. Share in this harvest work. One other part I would add to it is pray. Pray. Jesus says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers for the harvest. And pray for the Lord to send workers for the harvest to Robertsville. Because I believe God has work for us in this Robertsville community. And so, Lord, send workers for the harvest. So for Matthew 9, the word is share. Share Jesus with someone. Pray for that someone. Share with one another in the work of harvest. It's not just the work of one or two or a few. It's the work, church. Of all of us. There is nobody in this church that gets to sit out from the work of the harvest. As we follow Jesus, he sends us out and he gives us authority to succeed at the work of the harvest. Share Jesus with someone. You say, I don't even know who to start with. Pastor, everybody I know already knows Jesus. That may be true. But begin praying. Maybe you could pray this way. Lord, bring someone into my life. I don't even know them yet. Don't know where they would come from. Bring someone into my life that needs you. Out of nowhere, Lord. Make them up out of nothing and bring them into my life. Because I want to share Jesus with someone. Bring them into my life, Lord. And I will make a commitment to you that I will share you with them. Sharing Jesus with someone. Sharing in the work of the harvest with one another. And sharing in the joy of the harvest of people together. I don't know if there is any greater joy for the Lord's people than when someone either comes to the Lord for the first time, or they make a recommitment of their life to the Lord, or they come into the church after having been apart. I don't know if there's greater joy. Maybe baptism is another time where it's just overflowing with joy. But we get to share in that joy as the Lord brings about the increase and the growth and the harvest. I'm excited about it, church. I'm excited about what I believe the Lord is setting before us. 10 years ago, we were praying for something that was off in the future, it felt like. Today, it feels like we're praying about something and we are down in it, praying about it and for it. That's an exciting place to be. I don't know all the ways the Lord will bring about growth and increase and harvest in the days ahead, but I'm excited to see it happen, church. I'm excited. And I can give myself to that work until Jesus comes back. I'm excited about it. And I pray and trust that you are too. And that that excitement and that anticipation and that faith will be increasing as the Lord continues to lead us in this way into this new season. I don't know all the ways the Lord will bring about growth or increase or harvest. Those words might not even really connect with you. I don't know. It's just that they're in the Bible. It's just that they're God's word. And I feel like that it's the Lord's word that he's given to us in the days ahead. But I'm excited to see it happen. And I want to tell you, my faith is confident in the Lord and in what the Lord will do in us and through us. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, what a good day this is in your house. A day of praise and worship. Lord, even moments of solitude and quiet. Lord, your word from the scriptures opened up for us to hear and to consider. Lord, your spirit that moves upon us and moves us to respond to you. Lord, this has been a wonderful day of worship, and may it continue even beyond this hour and even beyond this day. Lord, you bring about the growth and the increase and the harvest that your word talks about. Might our hearts have desire. Might our lives be obedient. And might we be willing to share. In Jesus' name, amen.